Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. I just choked on my own phlegm. Johnny G. John Gaberson House joining me as always in the High and Mighty Studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabers. Arthur, shout out. He's just smelling my nasty-ass breath on the mic. That's all that matters to that stinky little critter. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, recurring, returning guests and new guests alike. I'm making connections. We all have something in common. You'll find out what it is by reading the headline before you even clicked on this. Joining me for the first time, we got Chris Kula, writer, comedian, friend, UCB old dog. Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah. Let's call him what they is.
And if you're familiar with Chris Kula at all, you totally got that introduction. If you're not, he will be speaking like this the entire time.
That's me. This is my true self.
This is who I really am. And another sexy voice that you've probably heard on his own podcast or on this one before in the episodes entitled Food and General So's Chicken, coming back for a third time, Zach Brooks.
It's the trifecta.
It's finally. This is the one that we solve it all. Thank you guys for joining me for today's special, important topic. With all the shit that's going on in the country, I'm glad the three of us are able to get together and talk buffets.
An all-you-can-eat respite from all that ails you.
Right, exactly. Yeah. If anything can make you feel better in this current environment, it's two plates of lukewarm crab legs. We'll get into all that, but first, we're going to read some negative reviews of my podcast. The way this works, listeners, is you rate me 5 stars on iTunes and then roast me in the comments, and I will read it on said air. I keep calling it air, but you know what I mean. Okay, this review is called Slightly Funnier Than Cereal by Gene Creamers. Poor Derek and Chase. Those are my brothers-in-law. They must be so disappointed in their sister. I'm sure each Christmas they whisper to each other, I wish she didn't go to Marist. 5 stars. Highly recommend. That must be someone that knows. Either they pieced together some real pieces of information about. They knew my wife's brother's names.
Yeah. They also knew John Daly's character and
Gene Creamers. Yeah, from The Kroll Show. Yeah. Shit. Wow. That's really.
Worlds collide.
Wow. That's really deep. Did I read this one? This is from called High and Mouthy by Chorkman. High and Mighty is a thoughtful, well-orchestrated, insightful podcast with an amazingly intelligent host.
So good so far.
So far, so good. Josh Groban is probably the most respected comic actor in the industry. Keep up the great work. Just kidding. Oh, okay. So it's a compliment, then they say just kidding.
Or are they implying that Josh Groban hosts this?
I think that's there's a runaway bit in the Apple podcast comments where it's misspelling my name to more and more degrees. Often spelled just straight up John Gemberly.
You should clarify your show. It's not all Apple comments.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, the running bit amongst the, insane asylum where they leave a podcast running for the fucking lunatics.
Apps or like movies or reviews that's just taking shots at Gabers.
Oh, I don't know if I read this one before. Stop breathing into the mic. I'm trying to hear your guest by OGs. John Gabris is what happens when a child raised in the basement of Pizzagate grows up and decides to stay there because of the food.
They're not wrong.
They're not wrong, although I believe it's called Comet Pizza or something like that, or Pizza Planet, one of those. Whatever, we don't have to get into Pizzagate because we... Oh, I have an email for this account, from this podcast, gabris@highandmightypodcast.com or highandmightypodcast@gabris.com. I've gotten three in the 2 years this podcast is running, and one of them was just like, stopped listening to your podcast. Everything you do is great, but you saying Pizzagate isn't real is approving of pedophilia. I hope you're happy. You just lost a listener. I was like, this dude is so into Pizzagate. First of all, why are you listening to this podcast?
What brought you here?
Yeah, what brought you here? You're like, I came to hear about Heroes of the Storm, and now I'm leaving out of anger for your lack of knowledge of Pizzagate. Arthur, are you okay? Are you stressed out? Go, just go. Guys, that's it for reviews. Read 5 stars. I'm like so distracted by Artie. Read 5 stars, roast me in the comments. Rate 5 stars, roast me in the comments, etc., etc. Now, let's get down to what we all came here.
Yeah.
First plate.
First plate.
Let's go.
Wait, you're going to jump right into first plate?
No. Let's just talk buffets.
Oh,
let's talk. Do we have? Does everyone? We have buffet experience in assorted amounts. Kula, the reason I know you're a big Vegas head and a specifically Vegas buffet.
Correct.
After listening to you on former HeadGum podcast, don't get me started. You talked buffets.
Right. I'm on the record. I'm on the podcast record.
You're on the record as officially a fan of buffets.
Yeah.
I took that, put that in my head, and was like, I can't have him on the talk buffets after he just did that podcast. Waited a year and a half on the follow up.
And I hope this is what people only invite me on their podcast.
That would be great. That's sort of your thing.
He's a father. He's got a good career, I think. But
he just sold a pilot to ABC Family about buffets. Like, you just become that guy.
Yeah, might as well.
You have your own spinoff that's just talking buffets.
It's not a bad idea.
Buffet the Vampire Slayer.
Did you really sell that pilot? Because I would watch that.
Because I've never auditioned for anything.
I'm not a writer, but
but let me tell you how much. Because
well, you know, it's funny. Sorry.
No. Go ahead, please. I should have let you guys talk eventually.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, mind if I cut you off?
It's been 8 minutes. Should I speak now?
We had to, when I incorporated, like for tax purposes, like, you know, for my business, we had to, like, you have to pick like an, you know, corporation name. And my wife and I, like, the first Yelp search we do on any vacation is what's the nearest buffet. So we named our company Nearest Buffet LLC. And then as a result of it, like when you have to register it with, like, you know, the IRS, whatever, we started getting junk mail for restaurant supply companies, like, dear, you know, providers of Nearest Buffet LLC, like, here's an industrial strength fridge for your, like, they thought we were running a buffet. And then I was like,
not a bad shift.
No, I might just, that's the end game of all this. If I can make enough money in Hollywood,
I'll pivot to buffets. A classy buffet, like, that's the thing about Vegas. They do a buffet that takes away the disc. Because I used to like the little undercurrent of disgustingness that came with a buffet. But then as I got older, I was more like, ew, I don't want gross stuff. And then you go to Vegas, and you're like, this is quality fucking shit in these buffets.
It's real.
But then you got to spend a lot of money. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
I mean, there's a place for every level of buffet.
But I think that's what you age into Vegas.
Yeah,
buffets.
You think so?
You go from China buffets. You go from falling asleep in a China buffet chock full of orange chicken to waking up hungover in Vegas and dropping $40 on breakfast.
Oh, easy.
Yeah, $42.95 I think at the Mirage.
I mean, I was eating Sizzler at Sizzler Buffet as an 11-year-old, so your story does check out.
Yeah,
oh,
okay,
fuck,
so Sizzler is your, like,
childhood hometown buffet? Yeah, that's the gateway, I think. Yeah, that's the gateway
Sizzler
buffet
was
everybody.
Mine was Ponderosa. I'm from Michigan. That's
Ponderosa,
like,
there was one on Long Island as well.
Is it really? Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So they had it was like, you know, a Ponderosa Steakhouse Western theme, but they had the grand buffet that you could add on to your, like, you know, sirloin for like $4.99.
Yeah, and it had salad, but then also like chicken nuggets.
Yes. Yep.
I used to fucking love.
It's like very Sizzler comparable.
Mm. Yeah, it's very. There was also Ground Round, which you paid much you weighed as a child.
Yeah.
And imagine, like, my mom just like making me get on a scale, and even though I'm like 11, it's still $1.55. It's still, yeah, your son weighs 150 pounds. Isn't he in sixth grade? Yeah, but it's $1.50. My mom is such a fucking, she's so obsessed with deals to a negative way. Like,
so's mine.
Yeah. Yep. So like a buffet to her.
Yep.
She had three boys. It would be like, let's go and eat us. And yep. The more you eat, the better a deal it is, which I can wrap my head around. But also, don't force your kids into that.
Wait, what?
Look here.
Who doesn't think that way going into a buffet?
But it's more about like, you don't go to a buffet to save money. You go to a buffet to indulge and happen to like, the more you eat, the cheaper it really is.
Yeah. But I mean, you have to win the game.
Right. You have to win the game. But to my mom, the game is always like, here's an example of my mom's saving money math. If we watch a bootleg movie that she buys at the nail salon for $5, she looks around the room, she says, that's $5. Looks around the room, sees there's five people watching the movie. She's like, movie tickets would be $15 each. We just saved $70. I'm like, I trust you, we wouldn't choose to see this movie, especially such a shitty version of it. So that's the thing with my mom with buffets. It's like, well, Ma, I wouldn't choose to eat like a fucking heaping bowl of General Tso's. I mean, I would choose, but I shouldn't choose.
You still choose to this day.
I still, oh God, I would kill for a fucking good Chinese buffet here.
So what was your
China buffets, I think I remember, is like the first real buffet event. And then that's something became like a football team tradition too. Like,
oh, at,
like
oh my
on the
God.
Friday after
let me guess, that place is out of business.
Yeah. Friday after two a days, we would all like go, but if we didn't have a game on Saturday early in the season, we'd all make like all the dudes would go to this one China buffet and we would fucking annihilate it.
And that's like what nutritionists suggest, right? For like high level athletic.
<Yeah. laughs> You're supposed to carb load before a big race, but if it's football, you're supposed to salt load right after you're done playing. Like 30 dirty, fat fucking high school kids in like cutoff shirts. Like I had a Goldberg Who's Next t-shirt. Cutoff sleeves, just fucking smashing down crab legs and rangoons and dumplings. Oh,
did they know you? Were they terrified? Like, could you see the fear in their eyes?
Was that the old
in?
Kevin
like...
Meaney bit? Remember that? Do you remember the stand-up Kevin Meaney? The big, fat, kind of high-pitched voice guy? He used to do a bit about going to the China buffet, and they go, oh, no! You go home, mister! You go home! They all start, like, closing the blinds as he walks up from the parking lot. Still, it still holds up.
Yeah.
It's so true.
That's not what I was thinking while you were doing that accent, but yeah. I mean, I guess...
That's an accent. I'm doing an impression of Kevin Meaney's problematic Asian impression. So I'm technically two steps removed from that. So we had like we had Sizzler, Ground Round, Ponderosa. We had like all those like for kids, it's $4.99 or $3.99. Sizzler, I think, was 99 cents.
I think you're right. Yeah.
So was that like the deal for a while? That's disgusting.
And it would really like indulge kids in their weird picky eating behaviors because you'd get like, you know, I'm going to get some plain macaroni noodles and then like, you know, the nacho cheese right. on the side and then like only peas or like whatever, you know.
Yeah, like that five things that your fucking insane child brain is.
Yeah, because
like,
they're doing it themselves. They can take control of like, yeah.
And it felt cool to make your own plate.
For sure.
And then would your parents promote like overeating?
Oh, my mom would try and take food home for us, like from the buffet. You know, pull that move where you like wrap it up in a napkin and put it in the purse.
She's like, my purse is full of dinosaur shaped chicken nuggets. Ma'am, do you know why I pulled you over? License and registration. Oh, just grease pouring out. Loose Mac.
Look in the car. Oh, you've got three boys.
Yeah, you got three boys.
Go ahead.
Would you spend $4 on 8 pounds of food? We would, yeah, it was disgusting. My mom would be like, go make yourself another plate. I'm like, I don't even feel good.
We got to get our no money's worth.
I know. And then in hindsight, you realize it's a dollar buffet. You're like, Mom, how much money are you trying to milk out of this? She's like, eat enough so you're not hungry for breakfast tomorrow. I could save a few eggs or something.
Which, you're a restaurant guy, right? Or you're in the food biz?
Yeah. Did you even introduce me? I'm wondering now, what am I doing here?
Who are you? I just met you. You were fucking passed out by the chicken drumsticks at the Mirage Buffet. I said, sir, you're coming with me.
I'm here for parenting advice. I'm like, I'm taking notes.
You're
I'm
here
like,
to get parenting advice?
Well, I'm like, this is, should I not be for, like, we go to Soup Plantation with all three kids. And I'm like, gee, am I pressuring my kids to eat too much? Like,
hey, I don't know. I would guess yes. Your dad, if your dad's name is Midtown Lunch, your kids might be pressured to eat too much.
I'm a huge Soup Plantation fan. I think that's good parenting.
I mean, that's
yeah, you say because you don't care about the food, you just love the name.
I mean, I'm a big supporter of what they do and the heritage.
more the honor of the heritage of a soup plantation.
You know, the franchise, like the company that does soup plantation, exists in the South, but they're called Sweet Tomatoes down there.
Oh, that's what the sweet tomatoes thing is? Yeah. I always wondered what that was.
So, like, why not just be sweet tomatoes?
That makes sense.
It makes total sense. And you're like, hey, guys, like, does California need to hold strong to the plantation motif? We can all just be sweet tomatoes.
That's like the only successful buffet in Los Angeles, I feel like.
Yeah. I've never been. It's like a salad and soup buffet.
I lived here forever and never went. I'm not interested in soup and salad. It's like, it sounds boring to me. But then I finally went for the first time like a year ago, and it's they got pizza, they got blueberry muffins, they got all sorts.
They got all your food groups.
I don't even eat the soup. I highly recommend it.
$8, yeah. Eat a shit ton of blueberry muffins.
Are you okay? Yeah. Can I like walk you through the soup plantation experience?
Please.
Okay. So you go in there. It's cafeteria style. There's trays and plates there. I usually get two plates right away. One, because the first thing you're going to do is go through the salad bar, right? Long salad bar. It's all like pretty good, fresh stuff, you know? They've got prepared salads there.
I mean, it's like a New York City salad bar. It's like, is it less quality than like when you go to a New York City, like...
Deli?
Like a deli.
I'm going to say more quality.
I would say it's... I think there's delis that have better quality stuff, but... In general, it's good. It's fine.
For
it's
like
good.
Like full serve at like fast.
Yeah. Service, for like a chain. Like if they're moving. It's not like old weird tomatoes sitting in the bottom of a thing.
They got the crunchy Chinese noodle things.
That's all you care about. I think we need to explain to Zach what salad is, and then we can continue on this story.
Wasabi peas.
You just eat a bowl of like hamster food. It's like super crunchy. Yum salad. Your kids are like, Dad.
They have like two or three pre-made salads with the dressing already in there, and one of them's a Chinese chicken, you know, Chinese with the crunchies, and so
that's all you
need.
I'm
good. Yeah.
Yeah. The salad you want is the one that comes with dressing and crunchies in it already. It's like coleslaw.
Yeah.
And then so you walk down the salad.
Yeah, load up some of your prepared salads, build your own salad with whatever, you know, your romaine or spinach base, load up all your ingredients on that. They've got other like prepared like, you know, tuna pasta salad, this crazy broccoli dish that's called Jones Broccoli Madness that has like bacon and cashews in it and like some sweet, like I'm sure it's a pure sugar dressing and it tastes like candy. So you load up all that, you pay down there, go down through, then you go, there's like about eight different soups at the soup bar. They change over every month. There's like a different theme to it. Like our favorite theme is the Asian explosion month because it's like they have this ginger broth soup that's really good. And they did like a spicy udon. Like,
is it Thanksgiving soup?
Probably.
It's like cranberry.
They'll do like a bullshit America's month. And it's like, oh, you just need to move your chicken noodle.
Jews live in America, so we have matzo ball.
And then we hit on earlier, they've like a few different like kind of pizza type of flatbreads.
Potato bar.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So soup, I think sweet tomatoes serves you 2 points here. If you switch your name from soup plantation, it loses the word plantation, which has a certain connotation.
Yeah.
And then also it loses the word soup. Cause in my head, I'm picturing like no soup for you. This guy, it's a place with like, you get a bowl and there's nine soups. Uh-huh. Go up as many times as you want.
Which begs the question, like how much soup do you really need in one sitting?
In Los Angeles. In the hot desert. August month? It's just like all gazpachos. Yeah. This is a juice bar in August.
I feel like the 25 times I've been, soup is the... Does that seem low or high?
Well, you said you started going a year ago. You said you never went until a year ago. And you've now gone every other week.
That checks out. So, right. I think soup's probably the thing I've eaten the least amount of.
How many bowls would you do in like one visit?
Usually none.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You can go soup plantation, get
and
your
not
money's
get
worth
soup.
And not touch soup.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because they got pizza. Did I mention the blueberry muffins?
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned
dessert
carbs.
They've got like three or four desserts. Nobody get the salad at the beginning. It's healthy.
Now, is it like $12.95 or is it like $20?
I don't know.
It's under $10. I think.
It's under.
For lunch, it's maybe like $7.99 and maybe like $9.99 for dinner.
See, we get a coupon for the whole family.
Hell yeah.
Which is...
Are you remember Club Veg?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, that's how I know. That's how I know sweet tomatoes, because it's in the subject line of the email I get every week.
Wait, so what's the family coupon you get?
It's like $28 for all five of us.
Yeah, oh, that's insane. Your kids are like, remember, wear your cargo pants so we can take all those blueberry muffins home.
And I still force them to eat a lot. Yeah. You gotta win the game.
You're like, 5-year old is like drinking bisque by the gallon.
Actually, our neighborhood soup plantation went out of business a few months ago. I don't know if it's related.
Oh, wait, are you in Pasadena?
No, in Culver City.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
two went down.
We gotta drive to Brentwood now. It's terrible. Oh, really tough.
They have better soup.
So I force the kids to eat more now because we have to drive. Farther.
Kids better appreciate it.
I did the math on gas. Everyone needs to have two extra bowls of crunchies. Dad, this can't be good for us. Eat your crunchies, everyone. Your kids' teeth are all chipped and malnourished. Dad, I can't eat another bowl of crunchies. Oh, fuck. I love that you're like, my soup plantation closed down. You're like, Pasadena?
No, a different...
Like, you've got them all on tabs. Yeah, well, everyone knows John at Pasadena was going through some money stuff.
Well, they declared bankruptcy as a company, and I got like multiple people emailing me the story, being like, are you okay?
So that you like buffets so much that they're a regular part of your meal choice by choosing soup plantation.
Yeah.
Part of the fun for you is the fact that it's a buffet.
I mean, somebody asked me like if you could have a last meal, and I know it's kind of a cheat, but I would do a buffet dinner because I like a little bit, you know, a lot of a little thing.
Yeah. You like many.
Yeah.
So you're a big top. You would be a big tapas head if offered the opportunity.
Small plates, pass them by. Yeah.
I love past hors d'oeuvres at a wedding. It's
give me one.
Yeah, just take one for now.
See what's next? Yeah.
Then stand outside the kitchen and raid the waiter every time they come out. What do you like about buffets besides the fact that you feed your whole family for 20? Isn't there a brief moment where you go like, really, food shouldn't be this cheap?
Oh, like, yeah. Like, what is their overhead that they can make money like charging so little?
Yeah. That's less than $6 a person.
Yeah. No, I don't think about that. No, I mean,
I'm tired again.
I do like the idea of winning the game. I like eating more. That's why Vegas buffets, I mean, I love them, but they're also tough. Like, it's tough to win that game.
It's the Super Bowl.
It's very hard to win that game.
It's hard to do that game. It's hard to play a doubleheader.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to do two games in even one weekend at Vegas. You got to, like, choose one meal as your... Like, like the Saturday brunch where you skip lunch, you go fucking ham at like 11 o'clock.
Can last you most of a day in nice, oxygenated casinos.
Right.
But I think
sitting poolside while just crab legs cook in your gut. I keep saying crab legs because crab legs are like the Heisman Trophy of if buffet is a game, crab legs is the supermarket sweep equivalent of putting the turkeys in your
it's how the game is won.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's you walk in and you see the crab legs and you're like, all right,
yeah, like there's no way I can eat $42 worth of rice.
I have a theory about crab legs at a buffet, actually, and I want to see if you guys
float it.
Yeah,
this is
so
room.
I have this theory that what plate number do you usually go for crab legs? Are you like first plate? Crab legs, load them up, or
I'm a first plate is crab legs, a couple of other appy type things, and any other like sushi, any rich expensive stuff is always in my first plate.
Interesting,
that's smart. I have gone first plate. It's not like my ride or die first plate, but like I have gone the shock and awe value.
It is like for me, that's what it is, and it's hard to like shift into crab legs after like in the middle because I want to go. I'm going like mostly meats and fried for the rest of the ride, so I gotta like I get my crab legs in early.
Yeah,
because also there's something when you're full of just like breaking open crab legs is like stressful.
Well, should we talk buffet strategy? Should I tell you my crab leg theory?
Please.
I don't know because I feel like we're jumping ahead.
Let's do crab leg strategy.
Because crab leg for me is plate three. Along with if there's sushi or like any high end seafood items.
Yeah.
Because, and I can tell you plate one and two, but plate three, I have this theory that you're real full after plate two if you've done it right. And I'll eat the crab legs and then be hungrier when I'm done with the crab legs than I was before. I don't know what it is about
crab legs. Is it the calories burnt cracking?
That is part of my theory. That does
the have, physical labor that goes with eating crab legs.
I feel like that could be part of it.
Yeah.
You feel blue collar, like
I gotta tell you, I eat the crab and then I feel less full than before I started.
And then you're ready
the
for plate number four when you
or
didn't think you were
or dessert.
Maybe it's the butter that you're done with is just like coating. Coating
it's like
everything.
The castor oil yeah. thing. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying this.
I like it.
I mean, this has happened to me.
And then your fourth occasions. Plate is dessert.
Usually, yeah.
Or
more crab legs.
So your first
or,
two plates are loaded up. You're going like...
Well, so, okay, so...
Let's get into it. Let's get into our buffet. We're all buffet
strategies. But there's also rules, like, when you first walk in, I feel like there are rules. Like, rule number one... You gotta get seated as close to the buffet as possible. Nothing bothers me more than when they put you... Like, they see you, and they're like, oh, here, come here. And they put you as far away. This is a guy. This must have happened to you before.
No, they don't want me anywhere in anyone's online.
When no. They're
like,
you as,
we have a fucking tarp down in the back if you want to lay down on the floor. We'll just we can shovel shit into a fucking trough for you and your friends.
No, they want you as far away from the buffet as possible so that you have to walk.
Yeah.
Right,
like,
right.
You know.
If it comes down to like, do I make one more trip?
Right.
Nah, I'm just
yeah,
gonna.
Yeah. If you're real close, then it's just like, yeah. It's, I mean.
And then the big thing they don't want you doing is a bunch of small plates because that makes their staff work more and you're not like, you know.
But I find that nowadays buffets don't give you giant plates either because no. They give you that like middle ground plate where you can't really put too much on it, but.
Yeah, but also, yeah.
I'll do little plates and then also leave shit. A lot of stuff left on the like get you know the salmon fillet and you know whatever sort of like hollandaise sauce and be like that was a good bite
and just done. Leave
and
like a
like,
full
you feel terrible you feel like the worst like awful American but
you're already choosing to do that by going to a buffet you're choosing to be yes. an awful American
yeah you're not gonna redeem yourself by like you know oh I gotta make sure I'm not leaving food because
you're
0.01%
of the problem
yeah,
at that point
yeah,
like
exactly just own it
they're just sweeping food into like a fucking big hole in the fucking ground. Like yeah. The roulette chips at a roulette table, they just sweep it all into one corner. It's like, and all the employees of the hotel are down there, just like grabbing it like hamsters.
Comes up.
So we all shouted strategy things. So let's run us through it because you said sit close. I'm with you on that. You need to do one full pass where you pick nothing up.
Where you just look. Yeah, you gotta. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
to see what's going on.
Exploratory.
Ideally, you sit down, everyone does a pass, and then you run past the people you're with a couple of times, and you're like, I'm doing Mexican, I think. You know, like, everyone sort of compares notes. What are, like, can't-miss items for you?
Well, okay, so I think, I mean, the seafood is definitely... Is the make or break on a buffet, right? I mean, because it's the big money, the big money items, right? Yep. I mean, you gotta put down some big money items in order to win the game.
I rarely touch seafood at a buffet if it's not Vegas or...
Well, it's got it right. So finding the right buffet is, in a lot of ways, the first step to winning the game, right? Like, you gotta find that perfect middle ground buffet where the seafood's too crummy, you're paying too small an amount of money... Then you don't want to touch the seafood, right? You pay too much money.
Yeah, your seafood is your canary in the coal mine. It's like, is this seafood good enough for me to actually go nuts on? If that's the case, this buffet overall is worth
it. And crab legs seem to be that kind of that thing where you can find the crab legs on the $13.99 buffet, $15.99 buffet for dinner.
Crab legs often even at a China buffet.
Oh yeah, all the time. Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Big part of the China buffet for dinner only. They never do it for lunch.
They don't want
lunch
people-
is always cheaper, and they
can't have people eating 15 crab legs for $8.95.
No,
to that point of like you know trying to find like the good seafood buffet. Like when you're in Vegas, you are eating fresh catch in the middle of a landlocked desert. Like, it's always going to be like a certain caveat.
Are you impugning the Rio seafood buffet right now? Is that what you're doing? Like that was, I mean, to me, that was the buffet, you know, circa 2001.
Now like, you've done more. I've always do a Vegas buffet when I'm there, but you seem to almost seek out buffets when you go.
That's kind of like, yeah, that's kind of, because we're not, me and my wife aren't huge gamblers. So we gamble with our health.
you eat seafood at a buffet. Yeah, exactly.
It's our risks.
Who needs craps when you have the craps? Yeah. Have you done any of like the Bacchanal, you know, like any of those deals that they offer?
That's what I was gonna say about like beating the game. That's kind of my first that would be my first suggestion is do the 24-hour buffet of buffets pass.
But I just almost sharted just talking about
but the buffet of buffets pass it negates one of my favorite buffet tip strategy things, which is showing up at a buffet just before lunch starts. So you pay the breakfast price, get to eat all the
omelet,
the cheaper stuff, you get all the breakfast stuff, and then as they change over to lunch, you continue eating the lunch food for the more expensive price.
Oh, shit.
And that's like could be your one meal for the day. You're just paying for breakfast. You get there at like 10:45 if the buffet switches over at 11.
You get the omelet chef to make you one omelet,
and then
you grab a couple of biscuits, you go full, you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner in one sitting.
And then you stay there till 1 o'clock at least.
Often they have a men's room where you can shower up.
I've never done the buffets. That's like a dream. Your wife is into this?
Yeah.
Can I introduce her to my wife and maybe she can...
evangelize to her?
Yeah, like... right before
this is like the weirdest version of swinging ever. It's like, let's get our wives together and see if they can talk them into letting us eat at buffets.
Well, I had an early dream.
Chris's wife's really open-minded.
And open-mouthed.
I had a dream of eating at a Chinese buffet in every single state in the country. I got to about 11 or 12, and the one that I forced my wife to eat at in Tennessee was the end of that dream. Yeah. Like, she was like, never again. She put an end to that dream.
I have encouraged
we ate at a Chinese. She still married me, but she was like, no more buffets when we go on vacation. That's it.
The Great Smoky Mountains doesn't have great Cantonese.
Come on, we want to see the Grand Canyon, but while we're here, can we eat at a China buffet? Please, Zach, stop. It's late at night. I'm supposed to be going to sleep. Just watched the series finale. I don't know how it is. Season finale of American Horror Story Cult. And I am ready for bed. I am so comfortable because I'm wearing my Mack Weldon underwear. That's right. I got the silver on tonight. Those are the antimicrobial ones. I really like the waistband on those guys. For a guy my size and for a guy any size, you have to, like, underwear fits weird. A lot of underwear fits weird, and Mack Weldon stuff fits great. It looks great. It's comfortable. It's sweat-wicking, and they deliver it right to your door. And if you don't like the first pair, you can keep it and get your money back. They don't want your filthy, stinking underwear. You can send those to me. All right, guys, use promo code MIGHTY at checkout. Get 20% off your order on MackWeldon.com. Oh, man. American Horror Story Cult was actually a pretty damn good season. The buffet of buffets is a 24-hour pass to go to 7 different buffets?
It's something? All of the Caesars casinos. Okay. So Caesars Palace, Planet Hollywood, Paris, Flamingo, from a couple of the other, like, you know.
I think Harrah's.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Those are good ones.
Caesars recently got, like, redone, and theirs is now called something.
Bacchanal?
I think it is called Bacchanal.
That's where I did the breakfast into lunch.
That's the move.
And it was great.
I'm staying at the Wynn, and I'm like over Thanksgiving weekend, and I'm like, I'm going to hit the fucking buffet on Sunday. I went last time with friends for a bachelor party. I was like, I'm not going to hit the buffet. We're going to go out drinking. And someone's like, hey, we're thinking of hitting the buffet. I was like, all right, fuck it. I was going to spend $20 on a sandwich. I'll spend $40 on, and I still won't eat that much. I was fucking like, I like laid myself out. They're like, I'm like, when's dinner? They're like, the reservation's at 9. I'm like, can we push it to 10 p.m.? I don't even see myself being hungry today.
Yeah.
Not to discourage you, but Sunday is the worst day to buffet, just so you know. It's because they screw you. There is no breakfast to lunch.
Right.
They charge you extra for brunch. And they throw
champagne,
in champagne or whatever, charge you all that extra money.
Ugh.
And it's like you go back on Monday, it's like all the same food and cheaper.
Now, I'm a party guy. I love to fucking drink, but I do not drink alcohol at buffets. I do not touch it.
Keep it just water?
Keep it just water. Yeah. I'm like dipping food. I'm going crazy.
Dude, nothing makes me angrier when I go to a buffet with someone and they order a soda. It makes me so mad.
Yeah?
Oh, so mad. Soda is... That's like... Like, my two no rules, no bread, no soda. Like, it's...
Iced tea, okay?
Oh, iced tea's fine. Yeah, no carbonation. Yeah. Like, and what's
worse... I drink whole milk the whole time.
Do you have any crab legs? Heavy cream? Whole milk?
I should be all right. We're hitting the pool later.
Yeah, and the places that, because the smart buffets, they give you the soda for free, right?
Right.
Because they know it's going to hurt your chances. Yep. But then there's some buffets, like the really cheap ones, that charge you for the soda. And it's like, if they, I mean, that.
That's a dumb move, yeah.
Oh, I mean, why are you paying extra to eat less?
It's craziness. I say no bread. The only time I break the no
Indian
bread.
Indian buffet.
Oh, yeah, of course. The only time I break the bread rule is Indian buffet because I go, it's none of my business how much I eat. None of your business how much I eat there. But the only bread rule I break is turning a non-sandwich into a sandwich. Like, which is something you could do at a buffet.
Tell me about this.
It's where you look and you're like, oh, shit, I could rip off two pieces of this fried chicken. There's bacon and eggs over here. Okay. And you could just, and I'm like, oh, fuck, there's a roll here. I'll build an insane sandwich for one course.
Make your own McGriddle.
Yeah, I'll always have one thing in the middle that I'm like, shouldn't finish this. Yeah. You know, like, I'll be like, sausage gravy on chicken nuggets on a, like, Kaiser roll.
With a paella chaser.
Yeah. With two shrimp tails, like, decorating it.
That's another thing I actually love doing at buffets is the wildly disparate plates.
Oh, it's
like,
so fun.
No rhyme or reason why these items should be together in the same plate. Like, just for the effect of, like, setting it down in front of the other people I'm eating with.
Yeah, like paella with french fries. Yeah. Right, there is something fun to the visual of, like, look, on this plate is sausage, sushi, and turkey with gravy on it.
Yeah.
I'm starving. Yeah. Swirling fucking California roll and brown gravy. That's where you accidentally find out about combined flavors, too. It's like, ooh, plantain tastes awesome with the fucking avocado.
I think calling it an accident is degrading what we do as a come on, like, you're don't minimize our contribution to society or this podcast.
All right, so let me hit you up with the ideal 24-hour schedule.
Oh yeah.
Because the clock starts ticking.
Can I take notes?
Yeah, please. You're gonna want to do you get it, you know, the pass is you get it at whatever buffet you're buying from, so they, like, give you a wristband and they, like, basically start your timer,
and you have 24 hours upon that purchase.
Yep. Okay. So go to, like, Planet Hollywood for dinner.
Wait, is there a time? So is there a time that's more, you start right before dinner?
I start a late dinner that first dinner, so go for, like, you know, 9 o'clock. So you've got late dinner,
right? Because then you end up with two dinners. You get dinner for two nights.
Yes.
Just on Delta buying flights to Vegas. We're all typing, texting wives. I've got an idea, and I think it could save us some money on food.
Do your late dinner. Get up the next morning. Do your brunch at, you know, wherever. It doesn't have to be like a good, like, Paris is actually a pretty good brunch.
Is that the Around the World buffet?
No, I know the one you're talking about. That is, it's not Paris. Is like
Paris, you know, is the one with the crepes and all that. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
The blue sky ceiling that looks like you're in a quaint Parisian.
Yeah. Or the Robin Williams movie Toys.
Yeah, your point of reference.
Quaint Parisian film.
So do your brunch. You could even get, you know, really obscene and just, like, stop in at a place mid afternoon for like
3:30
for just like a bowl of French onion soup just because you can, you know.
Right.
And then do your late dinner by 9 o'clock again, you know. So, like, go in at 8:30, you get your next dinner.
And how much is it for the?
It's got to be, I want to say it's like
99.
I don't think it's over 100.
Is it under 100?
It's under 100. To make it worth your while.
You get two big dinners plus anything else.
Basically, $240
gravy. Yeah.
In my head, I would think that brunch would be the meal to start at, but you saying dinner makes the most. Cause if to get
late
two
dinner.
Dinners,
late dinner.
Yeah. Yep. Late dinner is clutch because then you can go three full blown. I'm just throwing out my mouth. I took like a huge swig of LaCroix and now I'm like, as I'm trying to say, three huge buffets. Because you can go wild that first night. Sleep it off, shit it out, and then do it late. I love ending a crazy ass brunch with a walk away iced coffee if I can too.
Oh yeah,
I'll help if I'm heading right to my hotel room at least.
Yeah,
that's literally me on vacation. Like, yeah, let's hit the buffet. You want to go to the pool? I need like 45 minutes in the room alone
to answer some emails.
I have to return some videotapes.
Okay, Mr. Bateman. I was Patrick Bateman for Halloween this year.
Were you?
Well, for the smoke show, we did
costumed.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. I think I gave this credit to you, to our mutual friend Ben Rogers, because we were looking at Dippold's awesome Lost Boys costume.
Yeah.
And then I said, like, see, Kula's got the right amount of commitment to a Halloween costume where it's like, you bought two things.
Yep.
But you sold it with the blood on the face. Like, you knew, like, it was one of those symbolic dress-ups, which, yeah, I think is ideal for
$1.99 blood.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you had some red. You had the, you were in the Huey Lewis in the News scene. You had, like, the tarp on and the fucking axe. Perfect. Great.
Thank you.
Dippled went. All right, thanks for coming on.
Wait, where are you staying for Thanksgiving?
I'm going to the Wynn. How's that buffet?
The Wynn's one I've never done.
Ooh, I'm excited. Same here.
It's pretty decadent if you're to be, you know, I mean, the Wynn is all pretty.
Yeah. Is it crazy?
High ticket.
Someone told me the Wynn is decorated so wildly and so brightly because Steve Wynn is losing his eyesight.
I believe that's a good rumor.
Yeah, and that so like he has to make it wild so he can like enjoy it in any capacity. It's depressing.
It's a good parable for something.
I mean, he's a terrible person, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's major. Yeah.
Major Trump supporter, yeah, and like pushing insane agendas.
I love that that's the depressing thing about the Wynn. Like, that's the most like,
him going blind is like cute. And then it's like, the bummer is. But yeah, I'm pumped to try that buffet. Every time I say buffet, my stomach drops a little bit. I think there is like a little bit of like you need to be emotionally ready for a buffet.
You mean depressed or?
it certainly doesn't hurt to be a little depressed.
Yeah. If you are not when you start, you will be by the time you finish. Yeah.
Your body will slow down enough that it'll affect your serotonin and dopamine. You'll be like, no, life sucks.
Do you go walking after you get done? Do you like hit the strip or are you just like debilitated and need to like lay down?
I need like a good lie down. Yeah. I need a good lie. I eat to the point where I need to lay down.
I've done that before. Yeah.
I can't lie down after a big meal. I got
to
walk.
Yeah. I'd like to elephant man myself and just fucking choke on my own vomit.
One time, this is a buffet horror story. We had plans to go see the Beatles Cirque du Soleil show at the Mirage. And we were staying at Planet Hollywood. So we were like, oh, we'll hit the Spice Market buffet downstairs. We'll take a nice walk up the street. We'll go see the show. So we didn't plan on it being like the rush hour of buffet time. Like it was like 7:30 and it was just like insane line. And we waited too long that we were like past the point of no return. It's like we couldn't like get out and get something else and still get up to the show. It was like, we got to just get in there. And
kind of speed buffet.
It was horrible because like we were making our plans like, okay, you go over there and get this for me and I'll go over here and get this for you. And we'll meet back here with like time for one plate. We were done eating before she came back with our drinks, like the waitress, you know, like, oh, here you can see it. And she was like, you know, bringing our iced teas and we were like signing the thing.
Oh.
So she was like, those people I waited on at table 60, they waited for 50 minutes in that line. They sat down and ate for 6 minutes.
And then you made it to the show?
And then we like hustled, like hightailed it up the show. Yeah.
That's a great story. I don't see where, didn't you start this off
the,
by
the
saying,
problem is you wanted three rounds.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, because we had our heart set on doing the
if you pay $43, it sucks to
it
have
wasn't
one
the,
plate.
But you didn't have the buffet of buffets thing going on?
Right, this was like, yeah.
This was like
was
you paid
solo
a la carte?
Yeah.
Right. All right.
That's kind of annoying, because then you're eating $40 for like two egg rolls, two this, two that, two
it
that.
It was purely like functional. Like we were, you know, starving. Like, okay, now our hunger's been satisfied. Now we can go. It wasn't like a decadent.
That's a bummer. Yeah. That buffet's a good bet. That's a nice little buffet.
You like this?
Yeah.
The Spice Market one?
Yeah, it's got the different, it's like a lot of ethnic food.
Divided
it's got the different
regions.
Nationalities.
Yeah, I like that.
But, yeah.
The Mirage is sort of like that too, where it's like Mexican, Italian, American, and American is just like 15 different. It's like just seeing someone grabbing hot dogs with tongs is like,
it's all beige.
They're all weird brownish meats.
But I feel like the Spice Market one, it goes deep, right? It's like you got like a separate like Chinese section and Thai section.
Great
I feel
Mediterranean
like maybe
section with like a lamb stuffed roasted
they got an
tomatoes.
Indian section too.
Yep.
Yeah, Indian section.
Tandoori.
Like yeah, it's like it's
this is that Planet Hollywood you said.
That was our intro to Vegas buffets because we were staying with my folks go out to Vegas a lot, but they're like low rollers. They stay downtown and they hit all of like the shitty $3.99 prime rib buffets, you know? So like this is when Sus and I were first dating out here. Or we had just moved out here and we were like, you know, spending time with my folks, and she was like, you know, very politely going along with this, like, oh, Christopher, we're meeting at the Four Queens and having the dinner. Dinner.
So you at Fremont, yeah.
And it's like, you know, these just terrible, like, iceberg lettuce buffet, you know, like gray prime rib and mashed potatoes. Like, and she's vegetarian, my wife. So, like, after two of these, it was like, she was just.
Wait, your wife's a vegetarian?
And still gets down with the buffet, yeah.
She loses the game every time.
Kinda.
That's tough. I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could do that.
But I see, like, I hear from a lot of vegetarians that it's ideal because then there's like, there's always 15 weird things that don't have meat in it that they would never have been able to get at one restaurant.
Purely options, yeah.
I mean, I get that, but if you're not eating the meat and the seafood, the financial aspect of it does it right. In order to win the game,
you got to go heavy.
Yeah, because you're like, all of your gains are offset by her losses. So you're like breaking even as a couple. Like, it's impossible.
She might phrase that the other way around.
Yeah. I mean, in life, that might be true, but at the buffet...
Her big argument is one of us needs to be alive for our son down the road.
It's going to be her.
let's just make it... let's double down that I'm around for a while. but you go to Vegas to run often, right? Mm-hmm. Have you done that a couple of times?
Yeah, I've done that, the Vegas half marathon. Oh, you run the strip at night and then do a buffet after you've like burned, you know, 2,000 calories.
That's the amazing way to do it, because then you've earned that buffet.
Yeah, yeah.
I usually lose $1,500 playing craps, then go like, all right, time to eat at the buffet. It. Oh, fuck. I used to say to myself, I can't spend $40 on the buffet, and then would lose like $900. Right. I'm like, wait a minute, just go to the buffet, you fucking idiot.
Have 36 buffets and you still have...
And still have less, yeah. Do the buffet of buffets for a week running and lose less money.
Yeah. Let's see. I was going to say, you brought the Rio before. The Rio's a pretty good unheralded.
Well, the Rio, there's two buffets at the Rio.
Mm. What?
The seafood, there's the regular buffet Monday through Sunday, but then the seafood buffet, I think is, or at least used to only be like Friday through Sunday. It was like a weekend only buffet. You had to line up. You have to wait like an hour for
that's
that
buffet. That's the seafood heavy one, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, I haven't been to that one in, it's been a long time since I've been to that
I've
one.
I've only done the standard one, the Carnival buffet. It's like all Brazilian themed.
It's all just butt cheeks. The chocolate soft serve thing. You're like, oh, come on.
Okay. Okay, guys, I get the theme. Very nice.
This is a little disgusting.
They've got actually the Rio's got a great Asian station. They've got like the Mongolian barbecue style, like build your own stir fry,
which
love is great.
That. Yeah, that's a holdover from New York. When I first moved to New York City, someone at VH1 was like, "Yeah, we're gonna go get Mongolian buffet for lunch." I'm like, "What is that?" They're like, and I'm like in my head, I'm like, "Just play it cool. What the fuck is Mongolian food?" I'm like, "Genghis Khan." And you go and it's just like, what do you want? We put it in a bowl and move it around. Right. Like, all right. Yeah.
I love the Mongols.
I feel like by the time I get to that station, I'm always too full. And it's stupid because I always get like noodles at the Asian buffet because you got to have something. You got to have like a base for the other.
And
like,
you don't want pasta. You don't want Italian pasta.
No, of course not. No. But you got to get like some lo mein or something, right? Fried rice or whatever. And so I always get the lo mein, and sometimes it's good, but usually it's just been sitting there. It's not, and I'm always like, man, I should have just gotten the Mongolian barbecue station. No, but you could do the noodles, and you're basically getting like a fresh lo mein cooked
tossed
to order if you put the noodles in there. But it takes time.
It takes forethought,
it takes
too.
Some time, and like, there was, you know, and it's always a big portion.
Do you know non-big time casinos often have buffets too? And me and I was driving back from San Diego after doing an otter experience, swimming with rescue otters. We went to some like divey fucking casino and we were like, let's just eat at the buffet there. And it was dodgy AF. I wish I could remember, the town that it was in. There's like some weird town.
Like an Indian casino?
Yeah, yeah. There's like where four of them are. Is it?
Pechanga?
Yep.
I think it
was. Yeah, something with a P. Is there something that's like super short, like three letters long?
Oh, Pala.
Pala. That's where we were.
Yeah, Pechanga is a little bit better. Because
I imagine the Pechanga buffet to be like top notch.
We have taken a road trip to San Diego specifically for the Pechanga buffet.
And not bad?
It was fine. It was fine.
Right.
Have
you had Morongo buffet yet or whatever those ones
are? I haven't done Morongo.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm curious if there's a closer buffet we could go to.
So Pala was not...
Pala was a little bit really like... The Mongolian food there was like the only thing, and it was like when the guy was making it for me, he was like cooking the stuff up, and I just didn't notice anything weird about what he was doing. But then someone came over and said, "Hey, quick, put your gloves on. The inspector's coming." And I was like, oh God. I was like, I don't want to see that interaction. They're covering for each other. Also, someone tweeted like a week after the fact to me, hey, I think last week I saw at John Gabris at this buffet in a random casino.
That's awesome.
And it was weird that it came to them like a week later.
They woke up from a deep sleep.
It was him. He had E. coli at the fucking Mongo station. Yeah, what are some can't misses for you guys in a buffet?
Well, no salad, right? I mean, that's a given.
No salad. No, yeah, I would I would barely even do a veggie side unless it was something that really interested me.
Yeah, yeah, something unique or really exotic.
Yeah, yeah.
Soups. What do you feel about that? Like, if there's like a no, just straight up pass.
For me, I don't do the soups because I actually don't enjoy soup in general.
What if it's like a jambalaya or something?
Ooh.
Like,
it's just never. I just feel like it's never good enough.
Yeah.
And if given the choice between like soup and like a second trip to the carvery.
Yeah.
Like,
I'll do a soup if it's like a wonton or like a light broth, like miso type
but
thing.
But they're never good. They're always watery, I feel like. And I don't know. I've just never had a good soup.
Yeah. But on the like, yeah, a soup from a buffet is never good. Like, the carvery isn't that great either.
You know? No, I mean,
I prefer a slab of meat to. I'll go to the carvery. I won't even know what the three things are. And I'm like, let me get one of each. She's like, you want chicken, turkey, and duck? Or whatever. I'm like, oh yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly, that's what I was saying. Turducken.
The Rio actually has a pretty good Asian soup bar where it's like that you pick your, you know, noodles and you pick your, like, yeah, give me the ramen base or give me the pho or give me the hot and sour.
Oh,
and then, like,
cool. Delta kind of does that in the first class lounge.
Oh yeah.
As something I learned as platinum status, you get a little lounge access. They have like a little, like two different types of broth, beef and veggie, and like you can add like the bean sprouts or noodles and stuff. It's a nice little treat in the Delta Lounge. May skip it at the buffet.
Okay.
For me, dumplings are always the can't miss. Like, I'll put two on almost every plate.
Yeah.
That's, oh yeah, you got those two, like your staple, like your recurring.
Yeah. We're building quite the lexicon that I think a lot of buffet heads are going to start.
Wait, now you said two on every plate. Now, I have a first plate rule that you only take one bite of every single thing because you don't know if it's good or not. Like, you got to take one. Like, I would never take two dumplings on the first plate. Like, or two of anything, unless you can clearly see that it's going to be amazing.
Now, here's the thing. For me, two dumplings is one bite. I eat them like fucking cashews. No, that's a good piece of advice. I will be ready to bail on things. Like, on my first plate, I'll take a bite and go, sorry, not putting any more effort into this.
But you should never take more than just that amount, because you can go back and get as much as you want. So there's no reason to gamble on big scoops of anything.
That's right. A good tip.
Like, you should. So my first plate looks like it's like 20 different little tiny bites of everything.
Interesting.
And then you figure out what your favorite things are, and then your second plate is big spoonfuls of the things that you like.
A slightly more tightened list. You go from 20 items to 5.
Yeah, quadruple the scoops of, right. Yeah. 5 of the best dumplings.
If you have 20 slots, you go 20 single slots on the first plate. Second plate is 5 4-spotters.
Yes, if you want to get mathy about it.
Yeah, and you know me. I want to fucking attack it from every angle.
You have a beautiful mind.
I moneyball this shit.
See, I think I apply your first plate logic to just all of my plates. I'll just, you know, 6 things of, like, you know, 1 or 2 bites of whatever that thing is times 6 or 7 plates. Like, I'm still eating after everyone's getting dessert because I'm still, like, I want to try it all. But I'm just doing it, like, it's more about
a box checker.
Yeah.
You're running through it.
Yep. Got to have a full.
I feel like at the Vegas buffets, you have to be that way because there's so much that going back for a second of anything is, I mean, it's got to be like best thing ever.
My third plate is usually seconds.
Okay.
My third plate is usually
third plate is seconds.
It's like a curated list of like, fuck, dude, I had to get that turkey was so good with the gravy. Let me get that. And then maybe, oh, the biscuits were dope. Like, I'll get like the 3 things that really hit hard for me.
See, I feel like my third plate is your first plate and your third plate's my second plate. Because my third plate is the I feel
blood's
like
blood's coming out of my ears. I'm like, I can't.
You said you load up on the first plate like all your like crab claws and expensive stuff whatever, and then your second plate sounds like the gross like noodles and rice and dumplings and
try
like
a
all
bit
that
of
stuff.
Everything,
right?
Yeah. There'll be like a fucking slider next to a dumpling next to
Exactly. And then my third plate is like slightly more curated of like, I know these four things kill after trying everything.
And see, my third plate is the peel and eat shrimp and the crab legs. Because, you know, when you're done eating that stuff, you feel
you're hungry again.
Yeah, you've worked off some of the food you've already eaten by peeling the shrimp.
Yeah.
It's science.
You still go to that CrossFit gym in Culver City where they just have you crack open crab legs and peel shrimp for calorie burning? Come on, Zach, 40 more tails.
The wad is the catch of the day. Do my cod.
You gotta do my cod.
This is
cod.
This is literally the only gym that's ever sounded interesting to me. Like, I'm like, if this existed, I would actually go to this place. Be
a buffet. It's all based around a buffet. You don't get to eat, but you get up, you walk around, and you like take things back to your table work on them.
Work on. What about dessert? Do you guys...
Ooh. Now, this is hard for me because I'm not a sweets guy normally.
Right.
But you do sort... at a buffet, I would never, like... Anywhere else I would choose to have extra meat and veggies or whatever.
Yeah, your dessert's another serving of
exactly.
something
I'd rather
savory.
Have seconds than dessert anytime. Mm-hmm. But at... And this is where I end strong. At a buffet, I have to have dessert to signify an end. So I have like a little dessert, but then I pop back with one more savory because it's like
love
almost
it.
Like the dessert refreshed.
Oh, I love it. That's great.
Yeah. I'll like eat like, and then I'll have like something stupid like five nachos. You know what I mean? Like, so like a quesadilla at the end.
Like a nice little, you know, dulce de leche cake.
Exactly. I'll have one of those and then I'll come back with like nachos with chili on top.
And some sausage peppers.
Yeah.
The dessert is your crab legs. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I just get a little taste of just a tiny little breath mint. But sir, bring me my puke bucket. I was obsessed with that sketch when I was a kid, the Monty Python puke bucket sketch, where he just keeps eating food and just keeps throwing it up but sir, it's wafer thin. And then he eats the little mint and explodes.
I've never heard of it.
That part's edited. The only edit of the podcast that gets bleeped. What the fuck did Kula say? They laughed really hard. Cambridge was embarrassed. That Kula dressed him down on the Monty Python skit.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Ouch. So dumplings are always can't miss no matter what the buffet is. I'm gonna test them. If they're decent, they're on every course. They're like an intermediate. You know?
I think crab legs falls in that category too.
Yeah, like, it's like a given. Yeah. I love a good Mexican, like where there's like a little make your own nacho bar where you can get a little wild, you know, because then you could put like mostly meat and cheese on top, which is kind of like my move for nachos, more so than like all the other jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge like... you know, proper prime rib mashed potatoes, but like I'll always find room for a plate of that from the carvery.
Yeah.
Even the mashed potatoes?
Yeah. Just because I need that combo. You know, I get that it's not part of the game, but like.
That's how they get you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, don't overdo it. Yeah. Give yourself like just a dollop, you know?
Yeah. The big potato has been pushing that. big potato has been pushing that like fucking language forever. Meat and potatoes. Oh yeah, don't be a couch potato. You know they're getting their image out there, dude.
You know what's really
funny? I will carvery plate, of course, like almost all carvery, and then some repeats carvery will pop up later on if it's particularly good. Like, yeah, if I think it'll go with another course, you know what I mean. If I'm grabbing all Asian stuff and I'm like, beef won't fuck this up, I'll get a slice of beef to throw in there. Oh. Yeah.
Hey, when you're at the Wynn for Thanksgiving, they're probably gonna do like a Thanksgiving. Ooh, buffet angle, ooh, some turkey.
So hit it.
See,
Thursday.
That's not exciting to me because Thanksgiving is already a buffet. You
and
know
I
what
will
I mean?
Have,
like,
I will have done it 2 days earlier.
Right, Thanksgiving dinner is like kind of a buffet of
this
all
is the
that
most
stuff.
Passionate I've seen you about almost. Wait a minute. That's a ripoff. I already ate turkey with my stupid family. I don't want to eat it with.
Wait, this is a serious podcast, right?
Yeah,
like this. This podcast is in the science section of iTunes, right? Because I'm here.
That's why it's getting blasted
to
reviews.
I'm here to discuss serious business.
People are just constantly let down. This is a culture podcast.
I thought you brought me here for my expertise.
Is there any other like does your strategy change at a China buffet? Because that's like where you know you have more obvious hits, your favorites.
I don't,
are you a China buffet?
I'm not. I don't fuck with the China buffet.
God, that hurts to even hear out of somebody's mouth.
Never once in New York you were just like, fuck it, I'm going to settle in and get a stomachache. Oh,
no, yeah, that's just like, that's, and I don't mean to disparage your, you know, eating, it just seems so subprime.
Right.
No, but that's the it's the best way to eat Chinese food, because that's what you want, a little bit of everything.
Sure.
Like, how do you decide what to get at a Chinese food restaurant?
Well, I don't have to decide. I get the same thing every time. Pork fried rice, General Tso's chicken, crab rangoons, steamed dumplings.
That's fine, but if you can find a buffet with all of those things, plus like three
plus
different
crab
kinds
legs
of dumplings
and
every
chicken
nugget, you're like,
fantail
shrimp.
Yeah,
I mean, it is the best way to enjoy Chinese food.
Oh,
and when you go to a... The other thing is that Chinese food is, or at least like Americanized Chinese food, is made to sit in those things. Like, you go to
right.
like Panda Express or wherever, you're
it's
getting
hardly
food.
Affected.
You're right? getting right. So the buffet, you're not actually degrading the quality.
You hear that? Actual Chinese people in America, we cook your food with lights.
China buffet is where I develop my entire strategy and everything.
Yeah, that's where I, like, that's where
yeah,
I cut my
yeah,
teeth.
Yeah.
Came up
you know,
in the China
you got to learn on the $11.95 buffets before you bring that to the big time of $42.95.
Now, what do you think about the American food at the China buffet? Because there's always that one little section that's got like
it's got that weird pizza, like
it's
bowling
got
alley pizza.
It's got onion rings and French fries,
chicken nuggets,
usually crinkle cut.
Yeah, usually like a bag of Orida crinkle cut.
Yeah,
fries,
exactly. So what's your feeling on that section?
Because
on a different buffet, some of those things you might get.
On a Vegas buffet, I'll throw some of the kids' stuff on there. Like, I love a chicken nugget or a couple of onion rings and some weird dip from a different station or something like that. But at a China buffet, I'm literally going for how much General Tso's can I ingest at this week, you know. And I'm using all my other favorite dishes to break up however much General Tso's I can get in. You know what I mean? I'm like, two forkfuls of General Tso's, crab rangoon, two forkfuls of General Tso's, dumpling, two, and I'm just going on that pace like fucking Morse code, 2-1-2-1 until I fucking pass out.
Well, I agree with you. The only thing I will get
until I have
is
a plate
the,
of half oranges for dessert. Is it? Does every China buffet you ever went to give you a plate of oranges and fortune cookies for dessert?
Yes, but I would have gone Jell-O. Jell-O is the, that to me
the
is
Jell-O
the,
is a standard one,
Jell-O
too.
To me is actually what signifies the end of a buffet.
You eat Jell-O.
Like, when a buffet doesn't have Jell-O, I'm actually like really bummed about it.
You can't stop eating.
Yeah, like I just like I have to. I'll get other stuff, like some tapioca pudding,
right,
or
you'll go Jell-O adjacent.
But there's got to be some Jell-O, and it's yeah, it's
and that's because you're a big supporter of Cosby to this day.
another one of my theories is that Jell-O is the
wading into that like a media. Well, here's another theory I have. You eat crab legs first, and also, what were these women wearing when they met him? No, Zach. Wait, what were you saying? Your theory of Jell-O?
I think that I feel like there might be some scientific I think the Jell-O might be the perfect there's something like chemical in there that you need to sort of, you know, settle everything down.
Like, if I had to guess, it's like you need some things that are going to be smooth. like everything else you ate was jagged and fried and just crunched down. You need some kind of like smooth to fill in the cracks, like some mortar.
Yeah,
an emulsifier. Yeah, you need to like add it, and then you need to like jump up and down on a bed to like shake it all. And then pour concrete out of your ass into a nice Vegas toilet. On the Vegas episode of this podcast, it was Jack Dolgen and Doug Mand, and we talked mostly about how great it is to shit in a Vegas, how surprisingly good Vegas toilets are, the public ones.
Uh-huh.
It's like, it's you.
Oh, yeah.
In a hotel, you can take a shit in the casino bathroom and not feel disgusting, unless it's 9 to 1 in the morning on a Friday or Saturday, and everyone's doing coke in the stalls next to you. We're like, there's three guys in the stall next to me, and I'm fucking spraying lobster tail out of my ass.
There's like, yeah, when it's got good airflow in there.
Yeah.
Good music, like it's loud.
It's loud. It's being cleaned like every 5 minutes. They're like sweeping up blood or whatever. You know?
Is this your segue into the mid-shit buffet conversation, or?
Oh, I would If I could time that I could take a shit in the middle of the buffet.
What do you mean time? It doesn't happen for you naturally?
It doesn't happen for me
naturally. Oh, that almost always, like, yeah, in between second and third plate, like...
You're like, third plate makes me way less hungry for some reason. Bless you. You're leaving out the part that you take a huge dump. It must be the crab legs. I feel so hungry. You're like leaving out that you'd spend 20 minutes in the can.
I puke a little bit when I'm in there, too, just to finish out the shit. But
I will say one of my best buffet performances ever did feature a mid-buffet shit in which I had my vape pen on me. So I went into the shitter, and while I was just shitting, I just started ripping, and I got off the shitter, felt empty, and like another round of stoned, and I was like, all right, let's dig in, boys. And I think I got like an omelet on a loaf of bread at that point.
That buffet is also closed. Side note,
40 people got scurvy. Or scabies is what I meant to say.
Scurvy. They were not serving up any vitamin C.
Guys, remember, if you're going to go to that buffet, you got to eat two full limes. You got to eat a full lime with every plate if you want to make
that your lime.
Thank you. Woo, that's tart. Imagine like if you like really got into like the performance aspect of a buffet and you were like hit yourself with like the ammonia smelling salt to get like riled up for a big
doing push-ups.
That would be, that's like the dream on like a Sunday, is you hit the schwitz, if we're talking purely Vegas,
yeah,
hit the schwitz in the morning, get the hangover out, steam shower, hot tub, cold plunge, do all that, take a nice long shower, mosey up to that fucking buffet, get in line, and go nuts.
It's like a process of turning yourself like back into a human and then devolving. And then
destroying yourself. You're like the Marines. You build yourself up just to break yourself down. Treat your GI tract like the U.S. Marine Force Recon. What are some other buffet adjacent events or places where you can kind of bring the buffet mentality? Like weddings is kind of one.
Oh, I was going to say, what do you think about the by the pound buffets in New York, which were always a source of...
Oh, sure. Like
it was always it was tough.
Like your friends are like going out to lunch at work and they're getting like a sandwich. You got 3.5 pounds of like pork chops.
Well,
and yeah.
It has all the excitement of a buffet. But then at the end, they charge you like 3 times as much money.
Right.
And it's very tough to gauge.
Right. And the economics of it are completely changed.
Because now you're
factoring in that extra category of how much it weighs.
Now it's the opposite. Now you're trying to think of low weight, high value items.
Yes.
And that's crab legs without shells.
Right. Which doesn't exist. Right. And if the buffet is like, let's say it's like $8.99 a pound. Like there's some things on the buffet that in the real world would cost more than $8.99 a pound.
Right.
And you got to get as many of those as you can, but then avoid the things that cost way less than $8.99 a pound that are really heavy.
Right.
It's mashed potatoes.
It's a very difficult thing. And also, it doesn't have the fun of like settling in to, like, you're predetermining how much you can handle. Like you're always like, fuck, yeah, I wasted $8, or you're like, I could have spent three more and gotten a couple more things.
One of my the angriest I've ever been at a buffet was...
I know the list is... I know you have like over 50 items on this list.
This is the angriest.
This is though. Top five, yeah.
You're the Larry David of just specifically buffets.
So one of the by the pound buffets underneath where I used to work that I wrote about for Midtown Lunch was one of those... I think it was called Cafe Duke, and I was at the by the pound buffet, and I saw shrimp, like giant shrimp, like this big, which is like crazy. You never see anything like that.
Yeah,
like
that's minimal tail.
Yeah, $7.99 like by the pound, and it was like tossed in like a Korean like sweet like Ooh, Asian sauce,
sticky
like
sweet
looked
sauce,
really
yeah.
good. And so I was like, wait, this can't be. Like I it was crazy. Got so excited, put some on my plate, got a bunch of other things, went and paid, sat down, took a bite. It wasn't shrimp. It was like rice cake or fish cake that had been molded to look exactly like shrimp with the tail and everything. Even they even like colored the outside, like it looked like a shrimp. But it was made out of
shrimp.
I couldn't believe I was so, I couldn't.
That's so fucked up,
it's
dude.
It's so fucked up. That's, if it hadn't been super delicious, I probably would have complained, and I probably wouldn't have gone back a second and a third time.
And that, kids, was the angriest I've ever been at a buffet. Dad, why the fuck are you telling us this story? That's so, that is.
It's kind of genius, but.
It's a smart move. It,
I mean, a total scam.
Oh, that's
total
sucks.
Scam. If you Google fake shrimp scam, you will see my article.
You'll see my 25 articles that I've sponsored on Facebook.
And I love that it ends with, I mean, it was good. And I
it was good. I mean, I can't lie.
I didn't share this thing.
It dampened the, once the initial shock and anger sort of waned and how I got suckered.
I worked at 1633 Broadway for a lot, and that's like right there at 50th and Broadway in Midtown. Tons of those pay-per-pound places. One place went to $5.99 a pound at 5 p.m. Like, their thing was,
right. Oh. Yes.
It's the end of the
yes.
day, yeah. Let's get yeah. rid of some of this shit. And we would go in there, and a group of us would split what we called 5 p.m. dumplings. And it was like, the only thing that you want to eat at this point that's been sitting out
Wait,
all day.
You, was it an Asian buffet, or it was a...
It was just one of those like buffets okay. in the middle of a deli, but all they right. happened to have dumplings at this one. And the dumplings are the things that kind of congeal but become like a different version of themselves after sitting out all day. Like, I wouldn't want to grab almost anything else that has been sitting out all day.
Yeah, anything in a sauce that's getting like,
yeah,
crusty.
It's like slowly congealing, but these dumplings became like mochi texture.
It's almost, is this the time we talk about how delicious cold Peking ravioli are the next day dipped in duck sauce? Or
yeah, I mean, that's
because
exact,
that's like a,
exactly
I mean,
what we're going for. Yeah, 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 like, exactly.
It's,
and we would go like, all right, let's, and we would put like 20 dumplings in a thing, and they would be like $8, you know, or whatever. We'd be like, yes, split it like four ways, 5 p.m., just like you're almost done with the day at work, and you just want to smash down some dumplings. You just want to make sure you have diarrhea on the subway home. It's your pre-dinner warm-up.
You're talking about dinner, right?
No, you got to eat dinner when you get right? home. I'm just talking
I'm
about.
Pretty sure this meal is called dinner.
I'm pretty sure this is like I drank coffee, this and is this like is around... what I did instead of coffee. At 4 p.m. when everyone's getting coffee to get like their energy to finish the day, I'm fucking smashing down like 20 pork wraps. Giving me the exact same energy boost you get from coffee. Holy shit, guys. We really talked about buffets for over an hour.
This was a veritable buffet of topics.
Fuck, dude. I could go. I think we maybe need to do a High and Mighty field piece.
Oh, that's amazing.
Which means we could expense it via High and Mighty Industries. We should go to, like, find a relatively low. You went to the China buffet that opened up in L.A., right? In the Sanborn?
Wait, which one? The there's a
I
few.
Was supposed to go with you, but I couldn't.
Are you talking about the one that... I feel like when we first met, there's one in Hollywood in Thai Town.
Oh, yeah?
That's like, I mean, I think for lunch it's like $8.99, so it's what you would expect.
But it's not great.
It's been a while since I've been. Long enough that I actually would consider going back.
Even New York City doesn't have the right China buffet. You need to be in like a suburb in the tri-state area, I think, not to pitch only it's, my upbringing, but I think a suburb in the tri-state area, or an East Coast suburb.
It is tough nowadays because people in LA just don't eat. They don't like buffets. Like, it's not a big buffet town. And you need volume. You need
right.
Volume
you need people
for a
coming
buffet.
Through.
Right.
For
you need yeah. volume for a buffet to
even
know.
Make sense.
Yeah, yeah. Or and then they care about making the food. You know, at least a little decent. I still have not found one.
I worked in
LA that.
Yeah.
That's worth going to a second time.
Just wipe that tear away.
Yeah.
When I worked Midtown West, like on 11th Avenue, a friend of mine lived in Jersey City, and he had an Indian place that was buffet for lunch for like $6.99. And we would take the ferry from like fucking 44th and 11th over to Jersey City to eat lunch.
Oh my God.
And it would be like an hour and a half like trip, but we would eat so much for so cheap. And it was like in a room this big that was like decorated like a living room. It was like the only restaurant I've ever been to that had a carpet. It was awesome.
There are good Indian buffets in LA. That's the one thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, you could definitely find a good Indian buffet.
Ooh, maybe I need you to take me on a tour at one of those.
I would do that.
Yeah, let's do that. That would be, because you've never, have you done an Indian buffet? I've like only done like one or
no,
two.
No, I don't
like,
think so.
Yeah.
Really? What do you mean? Like in life?
Yeah, only like once or twice did I go to that place. I never really...
I thought I was podcasting with experts.
He's a Vegas buffet specifically, and I'm a Chinese-trained buffet artist. classically. You're classic Vegas buffet yeah. head, and me, I grew up Asian influenced. And Hometown Buffet is the nastiest one on Long Island. That's like American food, $5 a head. It's like the most trashiest place.
Is that even an all-you-can-eat buffet, or is that one of those like cafeteria places where you pay for each thing?
It's like an all-you-can-eat, like just, but it is like burger patties with gravy on it on top of them, like, you know, like just weird, nothing enjoyable. Everything's 50 Shades of Beige, as you said.
As I wish I'd said that.
We didn't even get to the all-you-can-eat Pizza Hut lunch buffet, which I'm sure we
all.
That
was a huge part.
You must have.
Oh, of course, dude. I once, I ruined a soccer car wash once because I ate like 14 slices. And the coaches were like, "Are you going to be okay? We have to go back and like wash cars the rest of the day." And I was like, "Oh!" Like I was like holding my stomach. I was like 15 years old, just like I could eat all these slices. I was like eating all. They're like, "You got to eat the crust too." I was like, "Oh!"
But it was also the breadsticks with the marinara dipping sauce.
Fuck like, yes, dude!
That was a good. That was a solid lunch out.
Is there a pizza buffet here? Is Shakey's a pizza buffet?
Shakey's does do a pizza buffet, but I've never had the bravery to try that.
Ooh. I feel like I did it once with the kids like years and years ago, but I don't remember. Wasn't good enough to
I
go
blacked
back.
Out.
It's no soup plantation, right?
That seems like the loser of a bet has to eat the Shakey's Pizza Buffet.
I like pizza. Well, then you're going to love overeating cardboard with cheese on it. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on High and Mighty and talking about buffets. I jammed down lunch real quick right before this so I wouldn't be hungry, and now I'm starving from talking about dumplings so
much. Let's go research our buffet options around here.
We're all just like in an email chain with like 1,000 links. Kula, if people want to tweet at us their buffet strategies or their buffet recos, if they live in LA or Vegas or any of these major cities.
Oh, yeah, I'm open to. Yeah.
We're
yeah.
open to hear about it. You said you're willing to travel to anywhere in America to eat in a buffet.
That's correct. Yeah. The continental US.
And you're saying you're no longer legally allowed to eat at any buffets in America because your wife put the kibosh on that, Zach? So, Chris, what's your Twitter handle, bud?
At Chris Kula, KULA.
And do you have anything else you want to plug? Catch up on Wrecked?
Sure. Yeah, that's the show I work on now. Go on the shitty TBS app and try and find that.
Figure it out. Yeah. Good luck, asshole. Vaya con Dios.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nah, come see. No.
Come see the smokes?
Yeah, then I was like, no, come on, don't do that.
Don't even come see me do improv.
I mean, yeah.
Just tweet at me buffet things. I don't want to interact any further.
I feel like if you're in LA and you want to see improv at 7 o'clock on a Monday, yeah, come see the smokes.
If you listen to this podcast and aren't aware of UCB LA,
who are you?
What are you doing here? You're just a buffet head who just happened to stumble upon this.
That would be the dream, I think.
You get like a huge buffet fan following.
Make some reference
to it. They're at every smoke show. Kula!
Can we have a suggestion, please? Spice Market Buffet!
Fuck yeah, Bacchanal, dude! And Zach, where are we on social media?
Midtown Lunch LA.
Midtown Lunch LA. And you have any plugs if you live in the LA area on a Sunday?
Yeah, come to Smorgasburg.
Come to Smorgasburg. Dude.
10 to 4 downtown LA. It is a
I highly
buffet
recommend
of food
it.
Options.
Yes. It's like all of the best trucks isn't the right, like all the best food stands, like, or restaurants that can distill a couple of items down to something. Like all the best are just in one area.
And free parking. Very exciting.
I tend to Uber so that I could get ripping high and eat. What are those tacos I like? The boa? Is that the
Goa taco?
Goa.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, good stuff.
Goa taco, the Cuban little sandwich that I don't think is there anymore.
Yeah, yeah, the Cuban bao things.
Yeah, I love that. Big mutts.
Oh, the mozzarella sticks.
God. And the oysters.
Oysters still there every week.
Oh, it's so good.
It's a good place. It's a good fun time.
Check it out. Check out Food is the New Rock.
my defunct podcast. There's been some buffet talk on there. Little bit. Occasional.
A little bit.
And you could definitely tweet buffet shit at me.
Yeah. Or you could just search buffet tips and you'll probably accidentally read 5 of Zach's articles.
Yeah. Yeah. That's work for me. So you can... Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, look, we're not your wife and in-laws. You don't have to tell us your job is what you do. and this is what I do for a living. We're like, we know. You're talking to two people who have been doing improv for over a decade.
We've had our fair share of explaining. Looks. We have our fair share of explaining to in-laws exactly what it is we do. As always, I'm at John Gabrus, no H in John or Gabrus. Tweet at us your buffet advice, buffet recommendations, or your buffet must-haves. Do you have a repeat item? Let us know. Any other lexicon we didn't drop, you know, give us some buffet jargon. Excuse me.
You just coughed up a chicken bone.
Full shrimp tail. Oh, no, it's fucking fish cake. Oh. They got me. If you work at a buffet and have any hand in like designing or laying out the food, I'm curious the logic that goes into it. Oh God, I would love that.
I want to know about this so much. The economics, yeah. The behind-the-scene economics.
I would love to talk to someone who does the books for a buffet. He's like, I want to know what price, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
What's the loss leader?
Yeah.
What's the thing that pulls people in that if everybody just ate that one thing, you go out of business in 2 days?
Tell us what it is so we can
bring down the house.
It's very secretive. It's very secretive.
We go in with, like, we're doing, like, sitting at separate tables. We're like,
crack team.
Like, speaking code. It's like, doesn't help you guys eat more. We've got spotters.
Stealing signs.
They just put out fresh dumplings. Make the move. Guys, buy a shirt at gabrus.com/shirts. Check out my other podcast, Action Boys, on Patreon, and Raised by TV, just out on Earwolf now. Should be the first couple episodes should be up by the time this comes up. Otherwise, goodbye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.